Very, very glad, Matthew, you didn't make me move this podium today. I appreciate that. Well, it's a true privilege to be with you this morning. It's good to see people that were here this weekend still showed up for this morning, so that's pretty, it's pretty impressive, so I thank you very much for that. I'd like to thank the saints here at Three Oaks Bible Chapel for inviting me up to share what the Lord has laid on my heart on the College and Career Conference and also this morning. I tell you what, I'm not as fast as I used to be, I'll tell you that, or the kids have gotten a lot faster. There's a story told of a man who was a great photographer, and he always wanted to take a picture of a ghost. So one time he found a haunted house, and at the full moon at midnight struck, and all his equipment set up, and the ghost started coming down the stairwell of this old, old mansion. He said, "Would you mind?" He spoke to the ghost, said, "Would you mind if I took your picture?" The ghost said, "No, not at all." The ghost posed for about half an hour. Then the ghost vanished. So he went back and he had everything developed. And you know what? It was all underdeveloped. This led to the story that the spirit was willing, but the flash was weak. So so you have to excuse me this morning because my flash is a little weak today from this morning from all the stuff, that all the activities at the college and career. I guess I'm out of college and I still have I'm on the back end of my career perhaps. So if I ever come back, I'm going to train. All right? I'm going to train and try to hang with all everybody for the next couple days. Anyway, we like to think some things this morning. We like to think about the word remember. You know, the older we get, the more we forget. Isn't that true? Rich, I'm not quite sure how to get here because I don't come here enough. And there for the many years we came a certain way. Then I don't know how many years back they changed the way to go. And I'm not used to the back way yet, so I didn't want to get lost. So I asked Richard, "You come with me." So we started out, we made a left or something like that. We got to a certain point, we got to a traffic light, and I said, "You know what, I forgot my Bible." So he goes, "Oh, okay." So we drove back, we got back, and we ran around the house looking for my Bible. I said, "You know what, I remembered, I put it in my bag." So he goes, "Okay, great." So we get back in the car, we drive back to the chapel, and then I said to him, "You know what, I forgot my notes," you know. And so he's like, "Oh, thank you, brother." So in the morning, I said, "Well, that's okay, because I know what I want to talk about, I just got to write down the references." So between the meetings, I went out of the car, and you know, the notes had slipped out of my bag, and I was so excited because before this weekend, I put Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and I have Sunday, so I actually have the right notes on the right day, so I'm getting good. But you see, the older you get, the more you start to forget, and it's important. The Word of God tells us that we need to remember a lot of things. Things are very important to remember. And my problem is at my age, when I learn something new, I think something else falls out the other side. You know how that goes sometimes, right? I used to remember, but I forgot, you know. There was an old man sitting in a park bench, and he felt like he was crying. The fellow comes and goes, "What's wrong with you?" He goes, "Well, I just won the lottery." He goes, "Why are you crying?" He goes, "Well, I married a very beautiful young lady." He goes, "Well, why are you crying?" He goes, "I can't remember where I live," you know. And so it's important to remember these things, right? So the Bible tells us to remember, so we're going to look at some things we need to remember. You know, some of the things we need to remember is warnings. As we turn to Jude, if you would. We have a number of places to go to this morning. I'd like to look at the book of Jude, chapter number 17. We need to remember the warnings. Unfortunately, where I work, we had a fatality on January 17th. I worked with a man for 17 years, and he died because of a tragic accident. And it's interesting, as we do things consistently, we forget that some things are dangerous. Have you ever thought about that? You know, they get to be so easily done, that just becomes rote. You know, you just do them, and sometimes you don't even think about what you're doing. And this man forgot something, and ended up losing his life because he forgot. He forgot the warnings where I work can be a very dangerous environment. And he forgot to do certain things. You know, we're always preaching to our men, you got to wear your PPE, your personal protection equipment. You know, we see guys running around working with ass that don't have their safety glasses on. They don't have their aprons on. They don't have their steel-toed boots. They don't have what will keep them safe because they forget that the world is a dangerous place. I don't think we need to be afraid of the world. We need to be cognizant that the world is dangerous. And then we find in Jude 17, verse 17, it says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit." So the first thing we like to look at is to remember the warnings in the Word of God. One of the warnings is to be careful to remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this verse, you know, when we think about the word spoken, well, to me, I think of the spoken Word of God. I think about the epistles that we find in the Word of God. And we realize that the epistles were written by the apostles, right? Except Paul, of course, was apostle later on. But anyway, need to think about that. But it says the words that were spoken of by the apostles of our Lord and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was a spoken word going around that all the apostles at that time were preaching this same warning to the local churches and the early churches. Now we think about the timing of this, you see many people were still alive, the apostles were still alive to be able to hear and speak these words, and the people that Judah's writing to, they were understood the words that were spoken. And we don't have the spoken word of all the apostles, but we have the written word of God. This is the words that the Holy Spirit breathed or inspired into the men who wrote the Word of God. And so we have the warnings. We have the Word of God here to warn us about certain things. And the first thing we'd like to warn ourselves about, there shall be mockers in the last time. Mockers in the last time. I think we live where there's a lot of mockers, aren't there? You know, it's interesting. We read in other scriptures, well, about the second coming. He says, well, it's been all these years. Where is the return of Christ? The mockers about the second coming. And here we are 2,000 years later, and he still hasn't come, has he? But you know what? He's closer now than he was when those words were written, wasn't he? Not only is he closer now than when those words were written, but yet we find that the things of the world are exactly as he has told us they would be before he comes. Think about the way the world was a number of years ago. Think about, as you're a Christian, before, was it 1948? Right? And you're reading in the Word of God, and you're saying that, man, the Jewish state, Israel, like, there's no Israel. You know, how is this going to happen? Well, guess what happened? 1948, state of Israel, right? And then we talk about the return of the Roman Empire. Well, the Roman Empire hasn't been around for, not what, a few thousand years, perhaps? I don't know. I was that old. I have to ask some of the people here, perhaps. But anyway, you know, it wasn't there. And guess what's happening? We have the European Union, don't we? And so the very things that the Bible had spoken about years and years ago that people have mocked for all these years are now coming to transpire, now coming to pass. Think about, you know, the mark of the beast. When I was a little boy, they didn't have RFIDs, right? Radio frequency identification. But what do they have now? Pretty soon, perhaps in another few years, you're going to be able to go through your grocery store, put everything in there, and not have to see a cashier. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, some of those cashiers aren't very nice, are they? You know, and I always get behind the old lady that doesn't realize she has to pay for her groceries till the very end. And the lady tells her, $300. She says, oh, I got to pay? And then she starts digging for the pen, you know, the checkbook, and 4 hours later, you know, she finally gets out, right? Wouldn't that be wonderful to bypass that old lady? You know, no offense to any old ladies in the audience, Mom. You know, think about that, right? But think about how that, you know, all this technology has transpired in just the last few years, but yet the Word of God has told us about it thousands of years ago. And prophecy is coming true in our very life. I don't know if you guys watch much of the news, but down by us, they're actually having people put the little ID tags in their bodies already. You know, they're talking about doing that to some of our military. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. But we have a firefighter down in West Palm Beach that said, you know what, this way, if anything happens to me, I have my whole medical history inside my body. Isn't that wonderful? You know, it's interesting that Satan is an angel of light, isn't he? And we talked about with the younger people, college and career people, how we need to watch out for the wiles of the devil. And if you don't have the Spirit of God and you don't realize these things are happening, and you think that everything's great, and everything's going great, and we're progressing, but we're really regressing, aren't we? But yet God is still in control. We need to heed the warnings in his word about the mockers and about the false teachers in the last times. It says, these shall be who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit. And so we find then that they're not converted, but yet they have some sort of godliness. And so we need to be careful of the mockers. We need to be careful of the false teachers in the last time. So that's outside of us. We need to be careful. And so let's look at another warning. If you go to Luke chapter 17, verse number 42, it tells us about a woman from the Old Testament. And it's not the shortest book, I mean, it's the shortest verse in the Bible, but it's fairly close. And it says to remember something. It's remember a person. And Luke 17, verse number 42 tells us this. Yep, can't be 42. 32, there you go. Sorry about that. As I forgot to write down the right reference. But there it is. It says, remember Lot's wife. Right? Remember Lot's wife. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? That out of the middle of this, it says, remember Lot's wife. And it says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And so we need to remember Lot's wife. So let's look at what happened to Lot's wife. Genesis 19, verses 17 and verses 26. Genesis 19, I'd like to look at the story. We realize that there's a Sodom, there's the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. There is discipline coming. There's judgment coming from the Lord. He's going to destroy these two cities. And they were told that when you leave, do not look back. But it says in verse number 17, it says, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that she said, escape for thy life. Or he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. So God has given easy and clear direction, and God has given us easy and clear direction in our life too, hasn't he? And when we disobey, there's judgment, there's a penalty, there's something that needs to be done. You see, God will forgive us of our sins, but God will sometimes will not take away the consequences of our sins. And sometimes we have to deal for years with the consequences of our sins. But let's skip down to verse number 26. But it says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife looked back. See, Lot's wife was concerned about what they were leaving. And I wonder about you and I. Where is our treasure? Because it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Was Lot's wife's heart in following God and obeying his direction for her life? Or did Lot's wife miss the things that she was leaving? Her house, her friends, her family, her status, whatever it could have been that was holding her back or had a hold on her heart that was still back in Gomorrah, she miss that? And because of that, there was judgment. You know, it's interesting about in my life, there's things that I kind of like, you know, and I got to be careful about where my treasure is and to stay away from certain things. Some things are good, some things are bad, but if the Lord Jesus tells us don't look back, we shouldn't look back. The children of Israel, what do? What was their murmurings all about, you know? What did they miss? They missed the leeks and the garlic, didn't they? I'm not quite sure if I'd miss a leek, but man, I sure would miss the garlic, you know? I love that garlic, right? The Italian food yesterday was great. But, you know, think about that. Is what did Lot's wife miss? What did the children of Israel miss? They missed the temporal things that they could lust after. Think about that. They lusted, their body said, you know what, we brought out here to starve us. We'd rather go back to the bondage of Egypt. We'd rather go back to the sin of Gomorrah than do the things that God wants us to do. Think about that. That's the warning that we have this morning. Warning of false teachers. Remember, there's going to be false teachers. Be careful about that. And also warnings about the lust of our flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of our eyes. That what are we really living our life for? There's a lot of good things out here that we can really, really enjoy, aren't there? But you know what? The things of the Lord are better. And we need to make sure that we're following the distinct directives that are in the Word of God. You know, I've mentioned earlier, I love to fish. You know, I like to fish every time I get a chance. I'm a fisher, not really a catcher. You know, I go out and I talk to a lot of my friends, and some of my friends are Christians, some aren't, you know. And the ones that aren't says, well, you know what, I can worship God just as good in a boat as I can in church. I thought about that, and I really did. I said, you know, I'm out there. You know, when you're a Christian, life is better. Because when I'm out there fishing, I'm like, you know what, look what God has built us. Look at the beauty of the creation that God has given us. And I can praise and I can worship God while I'm fishing. But guess what happens? As soon as I get a bite, you know what? Every idea of God goes out my mind. You know that? Because I got to catch that fish, right? So you know what? When we come together, right? We're here to worship and to praise and to learn about Him, not to fish, not to play golf, not to do whatever people do, right? Because yes, you can worship in a sense, but you know what? What are you really there for? You're not there to worship. You're not there to praise. You're there to something else, can't you? Right? And you know what? When I catch a beautiful fish and my buddy who's not a Christian, I look at that fish and he goes, man, that's beautiful. But yep, and God made this, you know? And you pick up another beautiful fish and there's so much diversity that you realize that how wonderful and how powerful our God is and His creative acts. It's beautiful to be out there and enjoying nature, but yet it's more important to be in the house of God, isn't it? To actually worship and think about the things of God. So we need to be careful about the warnings of the false teachers. We also need to be careful about the warnings of where our hearts are. There will our treasure be also. Lot's wife looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. It's interesting that she turned back into the earth. Right? Where does salt come from? Salt is mined out of the earth. And so God said, all right, if you're so concerned about the things of the earth, I will make you like the earth. And I wonder about you and I. Are we so concerned about the things of the earth that we're becoming earthly? We're becoming sensual, as we heard about the mockers in Jude 17. So be careful. Those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we shouldn't be earthy. We should be spiritual. We shouldn't be of this earth, but we should be of heaven. We're not children of this earth, but we're children and sons and daughters of heaven. We need to also think about where we came from. And that's found in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 1, where we came from. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but where we came from is an important consideration to make in your life and in my life. And it says, remember now thy Creator. Remember thy Creator. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Isn't it interesting that the writer of Ecclesiastes, the king, didn't say, remember God, remember your Savior, remember your whatever. He says, remember your Creator. I think that's interesting, isn't it? Think about that for a second. Remember your Creator, because that is who you owe everything to, is your Creator. You know, when you're created, you're here because of that person, because of the creative act of someone else. And because of that, you owe allegiance, and you owe everything you have to the one who has created you. Think about that. We live in a world today that says there is no creation, that everything happened by chance. And it's interesting to me that the more they delve into science, the more they realize they have to keep adjusting their theory, isn't it? You know what I love about the Word of God is I can say, well, I read it. And you know what? I don't have to adjust my doctrine for any new change. But there's always adjustments on man's part because they're not telling us the truth. But remember thy Creator. He is a Creator. He has a hold on us. And not only is He a Creator has a hold on us, but He's a Creator that knows what's best for us. You know, I don't think anyone has ever had to tell a kid how to be bad. I don't know, I've never had children, so I don't know. I've got two dogs, and they were bad from the time one dog was good till he threw up when he was a little puppy, then he's been terrible ever since. I guess he was sick for 3 days, you know. But, you know, when Sharon and myself, you know, they wanted a better child, so they had me. I think that's what happened, you know. But anyway, I can think that even though as perfect as I might have been as a young boy, think about that, Mom, right? But I still had to be disciplined every once in a while, right? And what do you have to tell a kid to do? Don't touch a hot stove, right? Don't run with scissors. Don't put your fingers in an electrical socket, right? And a lot of the training that you're giving your children is not so much that they can be smart or they can learn. It's just that they don't kill themselves, right? You know, have you ever noticed that? Kids, man, they'll do anything dumb. Some of my friends have little kids or grandchildren. I can't believe these kids are so stupid. But think about that, right? I mean, you know, don't run with scissors. Okay, I'm going to run with scissors, right? Don't put your finger in an electrical socket, right? Don't do this, don't do that. Because they're trying to keep them from killing themselves. You know what God does? God has given us a manual called the Bible to keep from killing ourselves, to make us happy. And if we comport ourselves according to the Word of God, right, it's to give us a long life and a healthy and a happy life. So we need to remember our Creator because He's the one that has made us and He knows what is best for you. And also, He keeps us from sin. Another thing it says that, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, some of us are past the days of our youth, but there's still some here that are in fairly young situation. It says, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth, because you know what's interesting? We mentioned earlier, or this weekend, that we're very busy people. I had a neighbor, and we used to call her Jean the baby machine, because she had 4 kids in 6 years, right? Just every time I knew her for the first 4 years, 6 years of our time together, right, while she was my neighbor, she was always pregnant. And then after the kids got a little older, she came from being a baby machine to a taxi. Mommy's taxi, right? I'm walking my dogs, and here comes Jean with 1 kid. 5 minutes later, there goes Jean with another kid. And then Rob comes home, and a kid goes that way, and a kid goes that way, right? And it's amazing how we're so busy that it's hard for us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And as young people, we're concerned about our education, or perhaps what we're going to do for our vocation. And so we're concerned about that. So we're very, very focused on that. And then after that comes up, then after we get to a certain staff point in life, we say, you know what, I'd like to get married, and we start looking for a husband or a wife. And that takes up a lot of our time. And then after that, if you get married, and you know, it just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs until pretty soon my wife and I look at each other. We don't have kids. We're like, how did it get to be 9 o'clock today? You know, it was only 4 o'clock, yes, you know, a few hours ago, and all of a sudden it's 9. What happened to our day? And we need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth to make sure that we actually have time and make time for the Lord. You know, we just sung a song about I sought the Lord, right? Are we really seeking the Lord in the days of our youth? And really, are we remembering our Creator before it gets too late? Are we remembering our Creator because of who He is and the call and the hold that He has upon our life? You know, we can be very, very busy, but yet we need to make time. And I think busyness is something from Satan to keep us busy. Because if he can keep us busy, if he can keep us occupied, right, we won't have time to think about the things of this Lord, of the Lord. You know, the word amusement, right? We want to amuse ourselves. Amusement means to not think, right? Amuse, not think, meant amusement. And we can spend all types of hours in amusement. And there's nothing wrong with exercise. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. There's nothing wrong with play. But yet there's also a time to remember thy Creator in the days of our youth. So remember are the warnings of Jude, of the false teachers. We remember the warning of Lot's wife. And we need to remember where we came from. We also remember something else, and I think this is sometimes hard for some people. We need to remember what we were. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 5 and verse number 15 tells us this. Deuteronomy 5:15, it tells us to remember what we were. You know, where we come from, there's a lot of people who want to forget where they came from. You know, they've got a little bit of affluence, and they don't want to remember where they lived when they were younger or where they came from. But yet, it's important to remember what we were. And in chapter number 5 and verse number 15, it says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. The Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commandeth thee to keep the Sabbath. We're not going to worry too much about the Sabbath. We'd like to remember that what thou wast. What were we before the Lord Jesus Christ delivered us? The children of Israel were servants in the land of Egypt. You know, the land of Egypt represents this world, doesn't it? Before we came to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we too were servants to the master of sin and the master of this world. And we didn't do what we really wanted to do. We did what he wanted us to do. I mean, that's another trick that Satan has told us, is that, you know what? God wants to put parameters on you. Well, that's a good thing. Trust me, in my life, I need parameters, you know? And it's a good thing to have, as we talked about earlier, this safety zone, that we can live a godly life and be safe and be happy in that zone. But it says, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. You know, it's easy to forget what we were. It's easy for the Israelites to say, well, you know, we're God's chosen people. And look how important we are. And I wonder about you and I. Are we, as Christians, proud of what we are? But we need to remember what we were and how we got out. And we realize in verse number 15 it says that thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. We need to think about that. God brought them out and they wanted to go back. Isn't that interesting? God brought them out and they wanted to go back. And God says, this is something better for you. This is something that you don't have to worry about. And it's interesting how we forget how bad it is. You remember the good old days? You know why they were good old days? Because we forgot how bad they were. Right? That's why they're good old days. They were worse than they probably were today, you know? But think about not having air conditioning in your car living in South Florida. You know, that's where I'm from. You know, 90-something degree heat, driving around all day long with no AC, right? Thinking about not having an oven. Thinking about not having a washing machine, right? You know, think about all the modern conveniences that we enjoy, and they say that it was the good old days. Think about that, right? Think about having to slaughter your own cow. I'd be a vegetarian, I think, you know, if I had to do that, right? But think about all these things, right? And so we forget how bad things were, and we want to go back sometimes. But you guess what happened? The children of Israel, they came out, right? And they went right to the very promised land, and they looked. They said, no, Lord, we can't do this. I know that we saw all the miracles to get us out of the land of Egypt. I know we saw how you dealt with Pharaoh. I know how you got us across the Red Sea. I know how you got us across the desert. And now here we are at the very banks of the River Jordan. We're about to cross into the promised land. We sent the spies in, and the spy says, we can't do it. Think about that, right? And have you ever done that in your life? You get to the very point where God wants you to be, and say, no, God, that's too much for me, right? But God has done all the work in you and through you. And so what happened? God brought them out with a mighty arm. God brought them out with an outstretched, or a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and they refused what God wanted them to do. 40 years of wandering in the desert till they were finally able to go and conquer the land they were capable of conquering 40 years earlier. Think about all the pain. Think about all the suffering. Think about all the death that they brought about themselves because they forgot about the mighty arm of God's deliverance. And I wonder about you and I. Are we wondering, where is God's deliverance? Well, we need to accept his deliverance for our life. So, remember what we were, slaves in the land of Egypt, and how God has delivered us. You know, that's the children of Israel, but how about Ephesians chapter number 2, a very well-known portion. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 11 and 13. And this says, this describes the Gentile before he comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. In Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 11 and 12 says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. This is the unregenerated person. And this is where they're at. And it says, remember that in times past, this is what you were. That you were first of all without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. You see, because except for the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no covenant with us. Our brother Hugh mentioned the new covenant in his blood. And that's what we are able to participate in through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant. You see, the old covenant with the Jewish was, if you do, I will do. And if you do, I will do. If you obey, I will bless. If you obey, and if you keep these commandments, then I will bless you. And we find a history of Israel of, yes, Lord, we will do. It's amazing. What do they say when they first got the Ten Commandments? We'll do everything there, right? We got this, Lord, no problem, right? Then they fall. They cry out for deliverance. What happens? God delivers them. They have a few good years. Then they fall, and so we find this very strange bell curve, perhaps, of the history of Israel, the children of Israel. But now we have a new covenant by a much better mediator, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, well, if I will do because I love you. Isn't that wonderful? The grace that we have, the mercy that God has given us. Years ago, I was reading meters for Florida Power & Light, and as I'm hopping fences in the backyard, a guy screams out, give me justice. I said, that's interesting. I said, no, you want mercy, right? What's the difference? He wanted me to give him a lower light bill, right? Justice is paying everything that you are supposed to pay. That's justice, right? You don't want justice. You want mercy, right? And in my life, I don't want justice. I don't deserve justice, but I pray and thank God for mercy because it's by his mercies that we are not consumed. Think about that. Think about Achan and the other people in the Old Testament, how the ground opened up and these men were swallowed and their families because of disobedience, Korah and Achan and other people. Think about the people that were going to steady the ark and they reached out their hand and they were killed because you're not supposed to touch the ark. Now that's justice. And thank God we don't have a God who deals with us now in the New Covenant by justice, but he deals with us by grace and by mercy. So we need to thank him for that. But remember that before the Lord Jesus Christ came into our lives and changed us and brought us into that new covenant, that's where we were. And so we find then that we were without Christ. We were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of hope and promise. And because of that, we read the next three little words. It says, having no hope. Now, isn't that terrible? To be in a position where you have no hope, right? Because they say where there's life, there's hope. Well, that's true. But except until the time you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are where? Dead in your trespasses and sins. So there's no life. So if there's no life, there's no hope. And so it says, without Christ, that's what we were before the Lord Jesus Christ worked on your heart and my heart by His Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. We accepted Him as our Savior. You know, but you got to love the buts in the Word of God. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful verse? You who sometimes were afar off. Well, we talked about Peter yesterday. Where was Peter when the Lord Jesus Christ was first taken? He was where? It says afar off. You know, and you, so we were afar off from God, but now we've been made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. We've been made nigh. We talked about the new covenant. And so we find the old covenant was a covenant of separation, wasn't it? We couldn't come near. When the Ten Commandments were given, when Moses went up on the mountain, he said, you know, you need to make a perimeter around the mountain so nobody can come close. We got to stay away from the mountain. Keep your children, keep your people, keep your animals away from the mountain, because if they touch the mountain, what's going to happen to them? They're going to die, right? So there's a stay away, stay away, stay away. We heard in the morning meeting about how that the high priest himself had to offer sacrifice for his own sins before he can come in the presence of God. And so we find the curtains, we find the various departments of the tabernacle. We find the brazen altar, we find what? The laver, and then we come into the holiest, and we get in there, and there's some furniture, but yet there's a curtain. And that curtain cannot be breached except once a year by the high priest. And think about that. So there was stay away in the old covenant, but in the new covenant there's what? There's come close, we've been made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful not to be worried about what we have to do to be brought nigh? Think about that. You know, it'd be pretty noisy in the morning meeting if everybody brought a goat, wouldn't it? You know, everybody up, here's my little lamb, you know. It'd be pretty bloody, pretty noisy, right? It wouldn't be very nice. And that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. But the New Covenant is by the blood of Christ. He was slain once before the foundation of the world. And then we found out, that heard this morning, he will never be slain again. It says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, as making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So we find that there was enmity between the Jewish and the Gentile, the Jew and the Gentile. Lord Jesus Christ has taken that away, making us one flesh. And because of that, we are brothers. And think of that. Because we are brothers, we need to do what? We need to remember what we were. You know, it's very easy for me to say, you know what? This brother or this sister, well, you know what? They need to change. And we can be very difficult. We can be very mean. We can be very harsh on our brothers. There was the parable told of the one servant who owed more than he could ever pay. And what does he do? He goes to the master and he says, Master, Master, please forgive me of all my payment, of my debt. And the master says, all right, you're forgiven. He walks out of the house, and what does he do? He grabs another guy who owes him a few bucks by the neck and says, hey, pay me, and he throws him in jail. Now, isn't that how we can be? Because our master has forgiven a debt that we could never pay, right? And that is our salvation. That's our sin question. And he has forgiven us. then how are we supposed to deal with our brothers and our sisters with a forgiving and a loving heart? And that's the next thing we need to look at, is we remember our warnings, remember where we came from, we remember what we were, we need to remember our brothers. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 3. We need to remember our brothers. And here it is. It says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being also as in your body. It says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Thereby some have entertained angels unaware. We need to remember our brothers that are in bonds. You know, we live in a world today where we actually have brothers in bonds, don't we? We have pastors in jail. We have people having their heads chopped off for the fact that they're Christians. And we live in a world that's very hostile to Christianity. Thank God we live in the United States of America. We can still openly proclaim God's word. But yet that also is coming to an end perhaps soon. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen there. But it says, remember them that are in bonds. As I thought about that, are we praying for those that are going through persecution in this world? Are we remembering them? Are we suffering with them? Are we thinking of them as they are in their bonds? And as I thought about that, I said, you know, we have brothers and sisters that are in other bonds also. We need to be careful that we deal with them as the Lord has dealt with us. And we gather in a small assemblies. You know, one of the problems with small assemblies is you got to see each other all the time, you know? I worked with a fellow, and he went to one of the big churches down in West Palm Beach. He left. A year later, they figured it out. You know, think about that, right? He left. They said, oh, I just thought you were going to one of the other meetings. I said, no, they got about 10 meetings a weekend, and they figured, oh, I hadn't seen him in a while. He goes, yeah, it was kind of funny. I ran across one of the guys I used to go to church with. He goes, yeah, what happened? He goes, he didn't realize I left a year ago. He goes, oh, that's interesting, you know? So it's difficult in the small areas, isn't it? Because guess what? We get to rub shoulders with everybody every weekend, right? And some of us have different ideas than others. And we need to make space for each other. We need to remember our brothers and our sisters, you know? And it's very interesting because I was building my house. We were building our house, okay? And so my wife tells me we're owner building it, and we're doing everything by ourselves. And my wife says, you know, Don, you haven't made a decision in a while. I said, all right, no problem. She goes, you don't care about our house, do you? I said, oh, I care very much, Don. She goes, no, you don't. You haven't made a decision. I said, all right. So we walked into a tile store. I like that. She goes, no, that's ugly. You know, right? So I said, okay, well, you know what? Then from now on, you keep making the decisions. But isn't that interesting how each and every one of us comes from a different place? Each and every one of us knows that the place I came from was right. Think about that too, right? You know, where I came from, we did it this way, and that must have been right. And you know, there's a big difference between right and between preferences. We need to make sure that we lovingly give way to others' preferences. Think more about that others than about yourself. Remember your brothers. Remember what we were. We're sinning. We're hell-deserving sinners, and so are they. God forgave us. We need to forgive one another. All right? So we need to remember our brothers. The next thing we need to remember is to be brave. Deuteronomy 7, verse number 18. Chapter 7, verse number 18. Need to be brave. And in verse number 18 it says this. It says, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou wilt remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh unto all Egypt. Thou shalt not be afraid of them. That sounds like a commandment, doesn't it? Thou shalt not be afraid of them. You know, it's interesting how we can be very afraid of things, you know. We're in our business or our school or whatever it might be, and we have someone who's hostile to the gospel, and we say, you know what? If I speak up, guess what's going to happen? The professor might give me a bad grade. I might not get the promotion at work. This might happen. That might happen. But you know what? Remember to be brave, because it says this. It says, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. If God is able to do what he did to Pharaoh and to Egypt, he's able to take care of you. There's been times in my life that I've lost things because of certain ideas that I've held because of my faith. But guess what? God's prospered me anyway. God has allowed me to provide for my wife and myself. So we need to be brave. It's difficult to be brave sometimes in the world in which we live when everybody thinks the other way. When you're the only one swimming upstream. When everybody talks about how great gay marriage is. The guy that I work with, he's French-Canadian. We were in the truck the other day driving to a meeting. He goes, I'm so proud of Canada. I'm like, why? He goes, because they have same-sex equality. And he's so proud. I'm like, well, brother, you know, I don't quite think that way myself. You know, and I kind of gave him my opinion. He said, oh, never thought of that, you know. But you got to be brave, because guess what? The world is rushing us down a certain pathway, and there's very few that are brave enough to stand up and say no. There's very few brave enough to actually stand up and say this is wrong. The interesting part I found out, when I'm actually brave and stand up and say something, other people say, I agree with you. You know, a little, hey, good job. You know how that goes, right? So somebody's got to stand up and say something, right? And it's amazing when you do stand up and say something, you'll find out there's a larger audience for what you have to say than what you thought, isn't there? So we need to be brave. We need to remember that it's not so much what they can do to us. Fear not who can kill your body, but fear him who can kill your soul, right? And so we need to remember what the Lord did to Pharaoh and to unto all of Egypt. Joshua 1:9 is another place where the Lord tells him to be brave. And Joshua 1:9 tells us this. It says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Have I not commanded thee? Now that's even more stronger than be brave, isn't it? I've commanded you to do what? To be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Now that's a commandment from God to Joshua. And once again, he has the promise of his being with him. It says, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And it's God that's going to do things through us and with us. It's not our own strength. We talked about the Great Commission this week, and it says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this world. God's never going to forsake us. So if God is with us, the Bible tells us, who can be against us? Who can stand? If God was able to do that to Pharaoh, as Deuteronomy 7:18 said, he's able to make us successful in our endeavors for him. The last one we'd like to look at then is Jeremiah chapter number 1, verses number 4 and through 10, Jeremiah. If you notice also, we find out in Joshua and Jeremiah, this is going to be the start of their ministry. And the first thing that God wants them to know at the start of their ministry is, don't be afraid. We find now in Jeremiah, the very first chapter, it's called Jeremiah's Call. It says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak from a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child. For thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am there to deliver thee, saith the Lord. The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. So we find then that God not only is with us, but God has formed us. We find in verse number 5, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. This was Jeremiah's destiny, what God wanted him to do. And we can say the same thing about each and every one of us, that God knew us before we were formed in our mother's belly, before we came out of the womb. And Jeremiah's problem was, he says, but Lord, I cannot speak, for I'm but a child. We find the answer to that is in verse number 7, it says, don't say I'm only a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I commend thee, thou shalt speak. It's interesting to me that the most important thing we can do is speak the words of the Lord. You know, we can try to be the most eloquent speakers we can be. We can try to come up with all these little tricks for personal evangelism. We can try all these little things, but it's amazing to me as I've been reading through the book of Acts that what does Peter do? What does Paul do? What's he do? The basic words of God, the basic gospel. Nothing eloquent, nothing fancy, but yet these are the words of the Lord. And that's the thing. He says, my word is what a sword is, a powerful and two-edged sword, able to divide and pierce. And so we need to make sure that we are speaking the words of the Lord. And so that's what Jeremiah reminds us to be. So Deuteronomy 7:18, Joshua 1:9, and Jeremiah 1 says they're commanded to be brave. And I think we have the same commandment now in the 21st century. Next thing we'd like to look at in the last few minutes we have is found in Luke number chapter 22, verses number 19 and 20. And we'd like to bring this thought to you this morning to encourage you in this. And that's Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. And that says, remember our Lord. In Luke 22, verse number 19, it says this, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave them, saying, this is my body which is given to you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup in the New Testament, my blood which is shed for you. So the Lord asks us to remember him. You know, one of the things that we need to realize that in the memorial of the Lord's Supper is we come together to remember him. We come together not to get, but to give. That's very important. We come with our baskets full. In the book of Amos, I didn't write this one down. I'm trying to get this one from memory. But in the book of Amos, it talks about, let's see if I can find it here. It talks about the cows of our lips. I think it's Amos chapter number 4. Anyway, I can't find it right now, but if you take a look at it, it actually talks about the cows or the cattle of your lips. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? What are the cattle of our lips? Well, that is us coming and praising God and bringing the baskets full from our hearts to thank him and to praise him for what he has done for us. It's important to have memorials because it helps us to remember. It resets my week. As things are going wrong, as things are having problems in my life, I come and I think, you know what? The Lord died for me. And he loves me, and he's able to keep me through whatever I might be going through. Joshua 4:7, they were taking stones as they were walking through this river, and each man took a stone, and he made a monument. And there were 12 stones, a monument from each children of Israel, the tribes. And they says, why are we doing this? He goes, because later on your children are going to ask you, why do we do this? And that's a memorial to me, to remember what I have done for you. So we find there's a memorial to the Lord Jesus Christ every Sunday. And he's asking us, as he says, this do in remembrance of me. So we need to do that. We need to break the bread and take the cup in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We live in a world today as there were 10 lepers that were healed in the Lord Jesus' time, and guess how many came back to thank him? One, right? Guess what? He made mention of that one. We need to be like those lepers that are coming back to thank him and to praise him for what he has done for us. And the last thing we like to look at as our time is going growing short is Hebrews chapter number 8, verse number 12. And that talks about sins. Hebrews 8, and verse number 12. This is a quotation, a passage of the Old Testament. And the writer of the Hebrews says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning that our sins and our iniquities, he will remember no more? You know, one of the things I find when I talk to some of my friends when we're getting in a little bit of an argument, they get historical. You ever thought about that? You know? What do? They bring up the past, don't they? Well, you did this, you did that, right? And they get historical. And so, you know what? Isn't it wonderful with the Lord? He does not get historical with you and me, because our sins and our iniquities, he will remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, He's separated our sins from us. He's put them in the deepest sea. Isn't that a wonderful thought about this morning? That we have forgiveness of our sins, and not only forgiveness, but yet he has forgotten our sins. It's wonderful that God has chosen to not remember our sins, because you know what? Our sins are many, aren't they? And even though we know the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, we still fail, we still stumble, we still do things that are not pleasing to Him, but yet He loves us anyway. And He deals with us in the new covenant with mercy and with grace, not in the old. So we'll stop here for the sake of time, but just think about these things. We need to think about the warnings that are in the Word of God. We need to remember the warnings. We need to remember where we came from. We need to remember what we were. We need to remember our brothers in bonds, not only our brothers and sisters in bonds, but yet our brothers and sisters in the local assembly that we have to deal with. My sister has told me, she probably told you too, what is it? To dwell above with those we love, that will be glory. To dwell below with those we know, that's a different story. You know, think about that, right? You know, it's wonderful to think about all the wonderful things we're going to be when we get to heaven, but guess what? We're going to be in heaven with each other. Think about that, you know? And it'd be kind of bad if I see Brother John, I got to cross the street, you know, because we still got a problem, you know? Wouldn't that be sad, you know? Being in heaven, oh, here comes, I got John Moore. Hopeless, you know? That'd be awful, wouldn't it? So let's make sure that we're treating one another in love as the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us our sins. We need to forgive one another. You need to remember to be brave. We live in a world today that's trying to shut up the Christian. You know, if we can just get rid of the Christian noise, if we can just get rid of the Christian testimony, the world will be a better place. But aren't they wrong, right? So we need to be brave, and we need to stand up for what we believe and what the Word of God tells us. Remember the Lord, the breaking of bread, and then we need to be thanking Him and praising Him for the fact that He has forgotten our sins and our iniquities while I remember no more. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank You once again for this time, Lord. We thank You for the very wonderful truths that are found in Your Word. Our Father, we confess that we are soon to forget so many things about You, Father. Sometimes in the busyness of our lives and the cares of this world, we can get caught up in, Father. We just pray that You'd allow us to sit back every day and remember what You have done for us. We thank You so much for our salvation that we enjoy. We thank You, Father, for the forgiveness of sins through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for the fact that once we are strangers from the covenants, but now we've been made nigh by His blood. So, Father, we just pray for each and every family that's represented here. Bless them, be to them what they need at this time. We ask for journey mercies now as you depart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.